again, everyone. I'm Bruce Dumont, welcoming you to Montage for another day. It's nice to have you with us on our broadcast today. We're going to be talking about the women's movement with Carol Kleiman, reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and also about comedy with a man who's currently knocking him dead at the Mill Run Theater, and he's our guest today, Don Rickles. Don, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Bruce. It's nice to be in Chicago. I got a couple of good days here when I first started out a few years back, and I always love coming back to Chicago because there's a certain atmosphere with the people that I really enjoy it.
You made a comment on Monday night about that you were appearing in town right after the riots in, was it 68 or 69?
Yeah, when we had those, unfortunately, those bad riots, and I was at the Sherman House, the College Inn, and the opening night, the guys were making reservations getting out of tanks. So, you know, sitting in the front row with a bayonet, so it was quite an experience. But that was my first meeting with Jerry Kaufman, connected with this theater now, but even so, down at the Sherman House, we had a lot of people that showed up in the city, and I thought that was pretty great.
Well, that was right after you really started to go gangbusters on television, wasn't it?
Around there, yeah.
Around the same period.
We saturated the air with my partner, Joe Scandura, and I. We started to do about 48 million television shows and quiz shows and game shows, and the people seemed to enjoy me on it, and from there, Dean Martin picked up on me, and suddenly I became a television personality, and I was quite surprised because I didn't think this daytime television would mean that much, but it seemed to catch on for me.
A couple of years ago in an interview, I heard someone in show business say that as far as key shows on television, that Hollywood Squares is one of the most important shows someone can do because the people who hire people throughout the country generally sleep late, and when they get up, that's one of the first shows they tune on, and they know who's hot and who's not hot. Would you agree with that?
I would say Hollywood Squares is a very important program because over the years it's built up that image of the stars, and for the morning it's the housewife would watch a Hollywood Squares because mostly every celebrity you can think of has been on it. And I would think that Hollywood Squares is an important show to do, yes.
You were, before you were a household name with the public, you were very in amongst the in people in show business. When did you make that switch from being the in guy who is playing the lounges in Las Vegas? When did you switch over to be the headliner? Was it the television shot that did it?
No, I really think I became the in comedian through the Slate Brothers, and it started in a place called Murray Franklin's in Florida. And it seemed that with my kind of thing, with these put-down stuff and ribbing guys, that the actors and most performers rallied around me for some reason. They got a kick out of it when I made fun of their little habits and what have you. And then from there, we suddenly went to California. And Gary Cooper, and from Gary Cooper to Clark Gable to some of Ingrid Bergman stood in line in this club that held 125 people to see Yours Truly, and I was quite elated about that. And it seemed it was the in thing to do to see Don Rickles and have him say something about you. But I feel that when I went to Vegas, I worked in the lounge as it was known then. Now there's really not lounges so much; they're more or less mini theaters. And I was in the lounge, and when they decided that I was doing that kind of business in a lounge and causing that kind of excitement, when they headlined me in the main room in the Sahara Hotel at the time in Las Vegas, that's when my image changed to be more or less of a so-called headliner.
One thing that I did not realize was that you had spent time as a dramatic actor prior to emerging as a comedian. I recall after you had your identity as a comedian, you appeared on Run for Your Life in one of the best performances I've seen on television in a long time.
Well, thank you.
Very memorable. But I didn't realize that you were pretty deep into drama and had done as many movies as you had prior to that.
Well, I've always been deep into drama, except that drama hasn't been deep into me in the sense that I've had this image of this aggressive nightclub guy that motion pictures are hard to come by today. I mean, there are many pictures that maybe I'd have an opportunity to do, but my wife can't see me in the nude on a swing, you know, in bed or eating an apple, you know, attacking a 9-year-old girl or what have you. So she didn't want to go along with that, and every part that comes up today, in other words, Scandori and I feel it must be a tour de force for me to do a film. It's something that would be where I could really show my wares. To go to Yugoslavia again, which I enjoyed doing with
Kelly's Earl.
Yeah, and Clint Eastwood, and I sat with Clint for 6 months, you know, and watched a fly die on his nose. But to go to Yugoslavia again for 6 months and be the third lead in a picture really wouldn't mean a pot of beans to me now. At that time, it was right. Now I have to find, and hopefully that we can find, a script that would be great for me.
Would you ever be interested in doing another television series, or are you turned off to TV?
No, I'm running out of stations. But I'm certainly not turned off to it. I mean, the networks are, you know, pretty soon I'll be working in Pomona in California with a wet wire and a thunderstorm, you know. I really feel that television, I've been very fortunate in the sense that, as Joe and I always say, each year they come back to us. CBS has offered me another special this coming season, and they just feel that I have a chance. And I'm delighted that the networks are that interested in me. Because I don't think Don Rickles has been found yet, although I've had many opportunities, but it just seems that they don't believe I've been found yet, so I've been very fortunate that they think that way.
Our guest today on Montage is Don Rickles, who's currently appearing at the Mill Run Theater. I'm Bruce Dumont. This is Montage, and we'll continue right after these messages.
Stevens Bedding offers a Chicagoland clean sweep spring clearance sale featuring names you know and trust like Simmons, Sealy, Englander, Serta, Thomasville, Bassett, and Burlington, and all at Stevens' low, low discount prices. While they last, Stevens marks down a five-piece contemporary all-wood bedroom suit with huge triple drawer dresser, decorative framed mirror, exquisite armoire and fashion design combination cane and wood headboard, drastically reduced to $597. Come to Stevens Bedding today. Choose from our million-dollar inventory of nationally advertised brands and save now.
The senior citizen, one of America's most valuable resources, a resource that has not yet been discovered by many Americans. For years now, our focus has been on the young, but the times, they are a-changing. The new voice speaking out is the voice of experience, the voice of the senior citizen. And in Chicagoland, there is a group interested in the growth of the senior movement. It's called the Senior Citizens Public Service Employees Association. It's a group of retired Americans who have joined together to promote understanding of the senior citizen. One of the ways in which they're providing for the seniors is socially, through its sponsorship of Social Saturday, an informal gathering opportunity where people can congregate and share their thoughts. The Social Saturday meeting time begins each Saturday at noon and features the prices of the good old days. 5 cents for coffee, donuts, ice cream, and pretzels. So why not join the fun this Saturday at 6800 Northwestern in Chicago? Social Saturday. Seniors caring for seniors.
It's that time of year again to make excuses to enclose that back porch, put up that siding on your home, and finish that basement of yours. Discount Lumber, Chicagoland's home improvement experts, make no excuses. Call 463-6080 and Discount Lumber will send a crew of expert workmen to your home to enclose that back porch. Put up carefree all-steel siding or make your cold, empty basement into a finished year-round family rec room. No job is too big or too small. Discount Lumber offers everyday low prices with shop-at-home convenience. Remember, remodeling is not an expense, it's an investment. So protect your investment. Have your work done by the expert craftsmen at Discount Lumber. Use your tax rebate money as an investment into your home. All work is guaranteed. You must be satisfied. Call 463-6080 and have one of our representatives come to your home. There's no obligation. Discount Lumber. Reliable, courteous service with prices lower than the competition. Discount Lumber. 463-6080.
How long has it been since you visited the new Allerton Hotel? Well, we're still at Huron and Michigan on Chicago's Magnificent Mile. We still feature excellent room accommodations, superb dining, unbeatable meeting and banquet facilities, and our very own special, warm, friendly service. We've added some new pleasant surprises for you, too, such as complete remodeling of our interior, gracious dining at the Chicago Butcher Shop, fashion shows, and cocktail hour specialties. Won't you join your friends who visit us regularly? We have so much to offer at the new Allerton Hotel.
Don Rickles is our guest on Montage. I'm Bruce Dumont. Don, you've mentioned a couple of times in the first segment.
May I say something, Bruce? We've never met before. You're wearing a red and blue jacket and a red tie. Have you ever thought of putting a pole on your back and pretending you're a flag? I mean, the last time I saw an outfit like this, it was at Emmett Kelly's brother when he was hit by a cab. Everybody dressed up like this in honor of the accident.
Well, thanks very much for your comments.
And
about
you're
the
a
clothes.
Grown man with a successful radio show. They don't wear Mickey Mouse watches anymore, Bruce. Get rid of it. Go on, Bruce, with this real rip-roaring interview that's going to Hawaii and one other island off Kona.
Don, you mentioned Joe Scandone a couple of times.
Scandone's the macaroni. Scandone's the guy.
You're very close to him.
We used to be, but the shipment of ice didn't come in, so they knocked him off.
How did you meet Joe?
I was at a mob meeting. Joe and I, he was hanging around. He was following Marlon Brando around, trying to find out how he could meet the real Godfather. No, he's Italian, see, and he had a fish truck. And one day, flies were dying, and he asked me, I had a rag in my hand, he asked me to blow the flies off the fish, and we became very close. And he smells ever since. No, I don't know. We met years ago in the Elegant in Brooklyn, which was a smart supper club. I mean, the girls used to come in, you know, and everybody was casual. Used to get rolled right at the bar. And he owned the Elegant in Brooklyn, and he saw me. I came to work for him at that time. I think I paid him. That was the arrangement he had. And I did some shows, and we became very dear friends, and we've been friends for 22 years. He's not here tonight, unfortunately. He's in Naples. He's in fighting with the Italian army. Man's that devoted to his country. He's a wonderful guy, though. You'll see him later on. He stands in the hall with a black hat and a visa.
The other evening when I saw you on opening night, you made a number of comments that you were not a priest and you were not a rabbi, and you said it a number of times. How would you like to be described? Not necessarily as a comic. You're a great comic. How would you like to be described as a human being?
Supreme Court Justice. No, I got trouble spelling radio. How can I don't know how I'd like to be. I've always dreamed, if I had the background and the education, I think I have an insight on people. And psychiatry would have been a thing that I would have been interested in. Sometimes the psychiatrists today, you know, and especially in California, if you have a headache or your car doesn't start, they rather go to the shrink and basically, why doesn't my car start? Because my engine doesn't love me. You know, these people have these dumb problems. But I think psychiatry is great when it's put in its proper perspective. And I think I do a form of psychiatric work because I take inhibitions of people and their hang-ups and so forth and air it out, so to speak. So I think if I had not been an actor, I would have loved to have been connected in some way with a psychologist or a psychiatrist, either one. Something like that would have interested me.
And you want to be known as a nice guy. You sing about that in the act. And again, especially when you've really gone after someone, you will always go back and you will not.
Well, a lot of people say it's a disclaimer. I'm not really apologizing. I just want people to know that there's, you know, that this is a guy, see? And so when I do the kidding around or the strong ribbing, I want my audience to know that I'm really a fella that gets up in the morning like everybody else and has his problems, you know. You've never seen my wife, have you?
No, I have not.
Well, that's a problem. You know, sits around a house coat with a can of beer and just belches all day, you know, so... So I try to relax myself by being a nice guy so I don't drop her. You know, short shot in her mouth, it's all over. Now, but I got a lovely wife, and I married a Valium. If you know what that is, a very, yes, very nice lady. On the wedding night, she didn't know about it. She showed up but had no idea what the occasion was. It was one of those things. It's your turn, Bruce.
Your family is very important because you not only talk about your wife and your children, but you also talk about your mother a great deal in the act.
Yes, I do. My mother is a fantastic lady. The reason I talk about her is because she deserves it. I mean, there was a time when I, out in Long Island, a place called the Valley Stream Park Inn, it was one of the places I worked, the Hi-Hat in Bayonne, and these places I used to walk in, and the guy said, are you ready to do your act? And I used to go, and I was like a guy that couldn't even talk. And my mother had great strength, and she really pushed me. She was very, very, very... willpower. Her willpower was for me to be an actor because she knew I could be, and she thought I was very good at it. So she gave me a great deal of strength in my beginnings as an actor, and I've always loved and respected her for that. And today we make her part of our career as much as we can because that gives her a good deal of life. And thank the good Lord, she's in Florida enjoying, and we keep her posted on everything we do, and she's a pretty good critic too.
When you began your career, did you start as an insult type comic, or did you start as a straight stand up?
I used to go to New York and spit in the subway. I'm feeling kind of dumb tonight. I really what I did was I had an act that didn't make it. I used to tell bad jokes and put on a Sophie Tucker wig for a finish, and people used to yell up, "You stink," and that was pretty funny in those days because they were close to the truth, Bruce. It scared me. And I used to start talking to the audience. It was right after the war, and I had a way with a bunch of... I used to work in places with Satanya and her snake. This snake came out and bit Satanya, and Satanya died, and the snake lived. And, you know.
And the audience loved it.
Oh, yeah. And the snake would work with bongos and just go on into one hell of an act. But
turn into a purse at the end.
Yeah, right. So I had a local guy here, Sonny Mars from Chicago, was the headliner then. We had about four comedians went on before the girl came out. The girl. This girl that was, it looked like a cab hit her head on, but she was the star. And place was called the Wayne Room. And that's where I really learned that I had to come up and start being funny. So I just started talking to the people, and little by little over the years, which would take about 4 hours of solid history, it became me. It really was me, because I'm always the kind of guy that, with my friends and at parties and people I adore, I always rib. And people call it insult, Bruce. I try to avoid that word, but it always comes out, and they say the insultant. And I always like to make it clear, to me, insult is something that's not kind. A lot of people say, well, he isn't kind. That's not true. Because I don't think the Mill Run could be filled up to see me if they were going to see some cruel, insulting, mean man. My insult is a fun insult. It's not a thing of, my goodness, something to hurt your soul. It's not my game.
You've mentioned that you've known Joe for over 25 years, and obviously he's a very close friend and a partner, as you say. Are you able to relax, really enjoy, and enjoy yourself and relax with people, let's say that you've only known for 3 or 5 or maybe 6 or 7 years? I mean,
yes.
People that have come to you because you are a success.
Well, most of my friends I've met along the way when I was coming up. Most of my friends I've never made, as most of us do, late in life now, I've never made what you'd say a brand new couple. Oddly enough, we can say, being that they're from Chicago, Bill and Joan Wrigley, who I just knew late in life, just met about 2 years ago. And we became friends because they're in our age group. And they do travel, and we do have a lot in common. But most times, I think, guys, when you're up in your late 40s, as I am, new friendships you don't find overnight, and you don't look for, really. I have a certain group of people that I pretty much am involved with, and we're raising 2 children, so I try to stick pretty much to the people that have that same lifestyle as I do.
When you're working on an act, do you know exactly where you're going to start when you walk out on the stage? Do you know that you're going to go to your black joke or your Jewish joke first? Or do you have to feel it when you get out there and see the audience?
Well, there's a framework, Bruce. You have to have a framework. You know, people say, you make it up every 2 minutes. You have to have a beginning, a middle, and an ending. So over the years, when you start to work for Joe Bornstein and these people, you know, and they pay you $100, and for every laugh, you get another $100. So I'm up to $200, and I've been here 6 days. I'm kidding, of course. But what I'm trying to say is that it's never set when I'm going to say it and when I'm not going to say it. I mean, it varies. My show is basically a show that does change and has a different look each night.
Does someone spot your audience for you to let you know that there's a real heavy set person out there, or you've got?
No, I see that pretty much myself. You know, mm-hmm. Unless someday I come out with a dog and a cane, then I got to have a spotter. But right now, I'm doing it on my own. What, do you see something wrong with my eyes, Bruce? Oh,
no,
I thought maybe it was starting to get dark in here, and I thought maybe you were doing it.
Don, one last question.
Sure, Bruce. We've been on an hour. What are you worried?
As far as the future, in 5 or 10 years, do you still want to be doing comedy, or would you like to be back in a dramatic situation?
I would like to do what I'm most successful at. Nightclubs and theaters have been very kind to me. My partner Scandori has a great expression, longevity. We hope to get a film. He's been working constantly on it. He's been in Chicago now with me for the 3 days we've been here. He's been in his room 3 days. He came out the other day just to check the maid in the hall to see if they had another pillow. But he really works hard at it. And we hope to find a film, possibly still a television series. So when you're an actor, you have to be versatile, and you have to try to look for other things all the time, which we do. We really do. And right now, from 5 or 10 years now, I'd be very happy if I'm sitting where I'm sitting now and still in that position. But I would like to have the security of knowing I've gotten a few more films under my belt and possibly a series.
Well, we wish you happiness and success, because over the last several years since you've become a household word, you've certainly brought millions and millions of laughs into the homes of people throughout the United States.
Thanks so much, Bruce. It's been just a real treat for me. Could I be on again?
Sure, anytime you're.
Well, I don't want to be, Bruce. I don't want to be. I never want to see you again. Don't ever call me, and stop annoying me, okay, Bruce? Now take your Tinker Toys and your funny little microphone and get out of my room. Goodbye, Bruce. Get rid of the engineer. He annoys me, too.
Don Rickles has been our guest, and we'll be back with Carol Kleiman from the Allerton Hotel after these messages.